Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Silverstein, and I'll be here with you for all 12 hours of this podcast. Be sure you pull up a comfortable chair and your favorite beverage, and we're going to have a really good time. And I don't have any music, but we are going to introduce my new partner in crime, Jim Ozarski.
Yeah. I can't cheer for myself. Well, what a pleasure to be here.
You can fake it. Yeah,
I could.
Jim. It's great. I thought we'd start out by talking a little bit about your background and what you've been doing the last 4 or 5 years, and then we'll get into some Packer talk.
Yeah, well, I do have my favorite beverage on hand, Tom, and I will say this for our new listeners. I drink coffee a lot, so that's – I mean, I have to put that in. It's on all my bios on social media. Come find me.
That's a running gag on my live blog because I – depend on coffee so badly. So I guess we're going to get along pretty well.
Yeah, we are.
We've already shared a Keurig.
So. Yeah.
But anyway.
I come back to Milwaukee, actually. I've been in Cincinnati the last 3.5 years, or 3.5 football seasons, I guess I should say, right?
Everything's measured in football season.
So I working for the Cincinnati Inquirer, covering the Bengals over there in the AFC North. So I was just here a year ago. As a member of the road media, and then prior to that, I was at onmilwaukee.com, so I was in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
But I was more of a GA type of guy, general assignment. So I did Bucks, Brewers, Marquette, and then Packers home games. And so there's a handful of guys left from that time.
Yes.
Tremont Williams and I are back. Back together.
That's right. Reunited.
Yeah, so I mean, I've been obviously covering the NFL the last few years, so at least ideally, Tom, I think here to start as I get my footing back in Milwaukee and Green Bay, you know, I can offer a little outside perspective on this team, on, you know, it's how it's constructed, how the maybe some national perception, if you will, of some players. So, looking forward to doing this with you.
Okay, great. Well, we are going to have a good time, and we will be upping the number of podcasts will be at least 3 times a week during the regular season and definitely after games. So make it a part of your regular routine if you'd like. So, Jim, today was the last practice of training camp. Nice timing.
Yeah.
Way to walk in right at the end after we did all the heavy lifting.
Right.
It was held in the Don Hutson Center because it was raining, and that was probably a big disappointment to the fans, but you know, that's the way it goes. So in the final practice, your chance to see how they're functioning under Aaron Rodgers and all of that, and he doesn't show up.
No, 12 is not out there.
Yeah, why don't you mention what happened and what was your impression of practice?
Well, obviously when you see only 3 quarterbacks out there, none of them being 12, you're automatically okay. But knowing that he's not going to play, and I think it was disclosed he had an illness, sort of officially why he did not practice. There were some special teams, which is always very exciting, even for us media people, right?
Yeah.
Special teams install, right? I'll be honest, Tom,
it was boring.
What do you learn with that at this point? Was there just kind of repping through stuff? Honestly, what I thought was interesting was DeShone Kizer, seeing him up close. Obviously, I saw him twice last year playing games poorly. I thought I saw some interesting things in Oakland.
Uh-huh.
And then to see him up close, and I guess that it's sort of overall athleticism, the frustration of the bad throw and then a really nice, like he had a great deep ball to Jamon
Moore.
Yeah, excuse me. And, you know, kind of in between 2 defenders, which we saw in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. I thought the quarterback, you know, Tim Boyle, I didn't get to see him play against the Raiders, so to see that arm,
yeah.
I guess that I had sort of heard about very on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So the quarterbacks, to me, I think was the most interesting part of the practice, was just to see those three.
Kaiser is a big man. Yeah. You don't realize how big a man he is until you stand next to him in the locker room. I'm a big, strong guy. And I think part of the discussion we'll have here, and I think it's pretty big, although, you know, in the NFL, we always tend to wring our hands over who's going to be the backup quarterback, you know, and who's going to be the fifth safety and the fourth corner and the third tight end and the third running back. Now, here in Green Bay, the backup quarterback's a big deal because last year it was so bad. Right. You know, the situation was so bad. And I think that's why there's a lot of focus on the race between Kaiser and Hundley. And my personal observation is that Hundley is ahead.
Okay.
But I think that's because he has more time in the offense, and he has a little better touch than Kaiser. But Kaiser has some talent that you have to wonder whether they can tap into that or not.
Yeah.
You know, if McCarthy can't tap into it, then probably no one can. Not that he's the most, you know, the biggest quarterback guru, but he's good at it. And you have to kind of wonder how they're going to handle the quarterback role. Now, this is going to be our lead-in to the ever-popular feature that we call...
Say what? Say what? Say what?
Well, I think if you go back to the beginning, I mean, those two quarterbacks were Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, so I think that answers that part of the question. And really, in the big picture of things, it's what's the 53 look like? I mean, that's a, you know, you have to be open to when a young player, whether it's a young quarterback, if he earns the right, you know, he performs at a level, you know, there's a standard that we feel that we have here, he's earned a spot on the 53, then, you know, you like to keep him, you know, but, you know, when you have, you know, when you're sitting there and you got 56, 7, 8, 9 that you, you know, whatever the number is, it's, you know, then there's really the reliance is on the personnel department because they know what the pool of players are out there, the other 31 teams, and you just weigh it against that and you make a good sound decision.
So this comes on the heels of Gutekunst saying last week, Brian Gutekunst, the GM, saying last week that he loves quarterbacks and he wants to keep as many quarterbacks as possible. What do you make of what McCarthy says here? Is he saying, I'm not sure, is he saying two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks? And are we looking at a power struggle between McCarthy and Gutekunst over Gutekunst wanting to keep three and McCarthy two?
Yeah. Well, we'll answer the first part, what is Mike saying here? And it's kind of, at least as it was happening, and now that I hear it again, it's almost like both. You know, well, look at these two guys that I had, so I only needed two. But if if there's a third that earned a spot, he deserves to be on this team. So, you would think that they're pretty close to having that decision made. I mean, I don't know what DeShone Kizer or Brett Hundley are going to do in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. That's radically going to change your minds. I mean, I guess if there's an injury or, you know, you miss a curfew or there's something crazy, right? I mean, at this point, I think they've seen it. You would think they've seen enough in practice. And obviously, the general manager saw something enough in DeShone Kizer to trade for him.
Here's what I think. If Kizer got in a situation where he – actually, this is true for either one. If they got the ball with 2 minutes left in the half, 2 minutes left in the game, drove the team 80 yards for a touchdown, and, I mean, looked really good doing it, I think that could sway.
Okay.
I think Kaiser had that opportunity in Oakland. He had a chance to lead them to a victory, and he couldn't do it. Now, you know, he's playing with a bunch of scrubs, but I remember the days when – Ty Detmer and Mark Brunell, and they would be playing with scrubs, and they'd find somehow, some way to get it done.
Right.
And that's what I think they're looking for from both these guys.
That's interesting, because now I'll say from my perspective, seeing DeShone Kizer flail about in Cleveland, and that offensive line was not, I mean, highly paid, and I wonder how much damage control or rebuilding of that quarterback they're having to do.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was running around, like as you said, in third, maybe he should have been better, because you're like, oh wow, here's a guy who started a lot of NFL games a year ago. I just wonder where he's at with his confidence to a degree, mm-hmm. and you mentioned not knowing the offense maybe as well as a Brett Hundley. There's just some raw talent there that is intriguing, I guess, and maybe that's what we're kind of talking about. Is obviously you have Aaron Rodgers, so it's like what's the need? Is it Brett Hundley? Because if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt in week one, Brett Hundley can steer the ship and maybe go 2-1,
right?
3-2. DeShone Kizer might have a much greater ceiling,
right?
But can we win with him when we don't know who our running backs are right now through the first 2 weeks?
I think that's a very legitimate point, that Kizer, I think, has the upside, the greater upside. But Hundley, if they think this is a championship season, then Hundley may have a better chance to win some games. Now, Kizer, the thing that's working against him, in my opinion, is that they've changed his footwork. They've changed his ball carriage.
They're rebuilding him.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
They broke him down and started him back up. And, you know, there's some flaws there, but I guess they're smart. They should be smarter than we are, and Mike McCarthy should be smarter than everybody at quarterbacks. And so they get a tough decision. But like we talked about, made reference to, this could be a wrestling match between Gutekunst and McCarthy. Gutekunst may want to keep both Hundley and Kizer, and McCarthy may want to keep an extra wide receiver. You know, he might want to keep all three of those rookies, which he can't, but two, or he might want to keep Jake Kummerow.
Yeah.
And it comes down to, okay, I guess we'll find out who's really in charge of this building, you know?
Who has control over the seven inactives, maybe is what we're talking about, because it's I guess there's schools of thought there. You know, is that group of seven meant to be high upside developmental guys who, if there's an injury, they could play for you, but really what you want them for is that practice time, and maybe they earn a 46-man spot mid-season or late season, or if they are pressed to duty, they've developed a bit with more practice. Or are those seven guys strictly for something happens so they can play the next Sunday?
They have to. They ultimately, you can maybe hide one guy, two guys in there, but someone's going to be playing.
Yeah.
Most of those guys are going to be playing because of injuries, and they're definitely going to be playing in Green Bay because Green Bay has so many injuries all the time. They're just injury prone. I think what we will be looking at, or what we were looking at today, was I thought a little bit of a shift. It's sort of been coming, a shift in the wide receiver hierarchy.
Okay.
With Kummerow out, I think that Jamon Moore has started to make his rebound. You know, he had a really bad couple of weeks where he was dropping balls. I mean, he dropped a couple of sure touchdowns. And then we saw in the Oakland game, he caught it. And then we saw today, he had another deep ball that he caught. He's starting to regain his confidence. And so now, whereas I might have thought he was the odd man out earlier, now, I'm not so sure that – I don't think all three guys are going to make it, all three rookies. And Kummerow, I don't know for sure, but two of those guys I think are out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so, it's Moore was – I caught up with Moore today in the locker room, Tom, and he and because I made the joke on Twitter. I just started – so I watched the Oakland game, and I say, well – you know, as far as I know, this guy catches everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I had seen, obviously had gone back and seen the issues he had. And you know, I talked to him about that, and he said, yeah, it wasn't the start I wanted. It wasn't the start anyone wanted. Mm-hmm. But what he felt is it was sort of just that sort of step up the ladder. That was sort of the phrase he kept repeating. And sort of getting over that, and he felt that ability to not let it fester and totally go through the entire preseason and the entire span of training camp was important.
Yeah.
So at the very least, he felt whatever that was for him is over. So I guess that's to be seen, you know, against Kansas City.
Yeah, he needs to continue that upward trend. The guy who's been kind of flatline is the wrong word, because flatline would you know, connotate that he's dead.
Yeah.
But Equanimeous St. Brown has just been even all the way through camp. Maybe early he was down, and then he sort of picked it up. But I don't think we've seen anything that indicates that he's a breakthrough player. And I think he's a guy they could slip through waivers. And then the big question would be, could they slip, if they had to, either Kumerow or Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, from previous years with weaknesses in certain areas, like with the Bengals, mm-hmm. how much, what's the risk, I wonder, in Kumerow and Valdes-Scantling?
Yeah. It's interesting because you're either talking about a sort of known, when I say known commodity with Jake Kumerow, this is his third team, and he's got a lot of film from preseason games dating back to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and it is good film. Now, obviously, he can't stay healthy, so I don't know if a guy like that gets away necessarily. Like the team he just came from, New England, Eric Decker just retired.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a team who kind of just likes to go back to guys they know.
Right.
Now, in terms of the mid-round draft, I had this conversation, Tom, with some Packers fans on the Reddit page. Shout out to Green Bay Reddit page. mid-round receivers with upside, I hate to call it a dime a dozen, but a lot of teams find the small school guy, the basketball or other sport convert, mm-hmm. The speed guy who's got some drops. Like, there's a lot of those guys.
There are a ton of those mid-round guys.
Yeah, so it's really, like, you know, you mentioned sneaking a guy through waivers, and that I think there's a good chance because, yeah, you drafted your guy, so that's your grade on him, but everyone has their guy mm-hmm. that they drafted, and they have their guy they want to sneak through. So, you know, I'm sure other teams had these players on their board somewhere.
Yeah.
But
they have their own
right.
mid-round receivers
exactly.
that they've grown to like, that know the system.
Exactly.
It's just not a given that either of those guys will make it. And so as good as Kumerow looked, that injury factor does have to weigh in.
It is the one negative for him.
Yeah, because you saw him in Cincinnati
yeah.
for 2 years, right?
Yes, he is, in my opinion, a legitimate NFL route runner and a legitimate catcher of the football.
Mm-hmm.
But to this point, his body has not let him get to actual NFL games.
Right.
I mean, in 15, with the Bengals, he wasn't going to make the team.
Mm-hmm.
But he was this undrafted guy out of D3, we know the story now, that just wowed everyone. But because of his background, they got him onto the practice squad. Mm-hmm. He had a real shot to win a spot in 16. They were going to give him that opportunity, mm-hmm. and then hamstrings started getting pulled. And then he was missing time, and he couldn't get back quick enough. And then that's where your draft status, now you've missed time and they've got draft picks.
Yeah.
And then again, you know, the injuries popped up, and I think that's finally when the Bengals decided to move on. They just drafted too many guys
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have that room.
Right.
You know, and I'm not sure what happened to him in New England.
Probably just a late season, let's take a look, and they weren't that impressed.
Yeah.
But he did make some gains over the offseason, and the corners here love him, think that he's a legit guy. You know, they really do.
Yeah. Same thing in Cincinnati. I mean, they were, I mean, in 15, Adam Jones was a Pro Bowl corner that year. And you had Leon Hall, Dre Kirkpatrick, and Darquez Dennard, all first-round picks.
Yeah.
George Iloka, safety now in Minnesota with Mike Zimmer. It is weird. I mean, they loved how he competed and won, frankly. Physical guy.
Mm-hmm.
And really, really sharp route running. I mean, that's a common theme, it seems like, with him, that he gets a lot of respect from his room and then the guys he's frankly beating across the locker room. He just, you know, is he healthy enough?
Right. Okay. To keep on the theme of offense, keep on the offensive theme, the running backs position is really kind of, it's not jumbled, because really Jamal Williams is going to be the starter. Aaron Jones will be the backup after 2 weeks. And Ty Montgomery is Ty Montgomery, which means he's pretty close to being injured and
not really
a running back.
Right.
But one of the things, and I wrote about it, you can read it online today, was Devontae Mays came back from a hamstring injury. He injured his hamstring on August 3rd, and he's an intriguing guy. Low center of gravity, not as quick as Aaron Jones by any means, but really good lower body strength, improved his upper body strength, and was having a good camp at the time he got hurt. Now he's back, and he wants to carry the ball 25 times on Thursday night, which they're not going to let him do.
Right.
But this is a real opportunity. You know, they don't have another NFL back on the roster, you know. Bunyo and these other two guys whose names I even can't hardly remember are LeSean Daniels and Brunson Hill.
Right.
Are not going to be on the 53
short timer in Cincinnati, Brunson Hill.
But here's the dilemma for the Packers is, so Aaron Jones has to count against the 53 on cut day. His suspension doesn't begin till after cut day. So they have to bring him on the roster. Then he's gone. So let's say they cut Devontae Mays, and then they have to think about, will he get picked up? Because if he does, then they got a problem. Then they're down to Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery. So I'm really interested to see what Devontae Mays does. I know you haven't seen much of him because he hasn't played much.
Well, I guess that would be my question is, now he'll get some film against the Chiefs, but does he have enough? I mean, you're talking about a seventh-round pick from a year ago.
Mm-hmm. It hurt that he fumbled in his first game twice.
So, I mean, you know, you want to talk about maybe playing the waiver game of you have to carry Jones, so there's technically three tailbacks.
Mm-hmm.
If you include Montgomery in that
group. Yeah, that you group. Have to.
Yeah, so if we include Montgomery, you carry three tailbacks through on your 53. And, I mean, from afar, like just from roster, to me it would make total sense that a guy like Mays could clear waivers. Because there's, I mean, I hate to say it, but we mentioned mid-round receivers.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many running backs who get 30 carries or 20 carries in the fourth preseason game that are just, you know.
I don't think anybody's picking up Devontae.
No. So, I mean, really, it just might be a true Packers evaluation. How does his leg look? What does his burst look like? Can you hold on to the ball? Like, again, that sort of own evaluation where you know, Gutenkunst said, hey, it's about knowing us first.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's part of that equation.
Okay. And finally, I don't think we look at the tight ends much because that's pretty much determined. I think it'll be Graham, Kendricks, and Lewis. The next position is offensive line.
Yeah.
When the Packers have their starting five out there, that's a good offensive line. It's not the best offensive line, but it's good for what they do.
Yeah.
And it's really strong at tackle. And then I think Justin McCray is kind of an up-and-coming guy, and so is Lane Taylor. So they're pretty solid. But as we all know, there's going to be injuries.
Yeah.
And, man, the backups look just horrendous. I was in Oakland, and it looked probably looked worse on the field than it did, you know, from the press box than on TV.
Which is saying something, because it didn't look good on television.
Yeah, it was bad. Kyle Murphy just looked like, with every play, he lost more confidence in himself. And probably was lucky he got hurt, because it was just going to keep going. Now, I don't know if he played hurt.
Right.
It's possible.
Yeah, when did that ankle really bother him, and at what point, you know, did he say he couldn't go?
Yeah. But there one guy, and I have to go back and look at the game, because I haven't had a chance to look at the replay yet. But I came out of there thinking Jason Spriggs was the one guy who played pretty well. And if there's a guy they needed to play well, it's him. Second round pick, could back up left tackle, right tackle. He'd be their number six offensive lineman.
Yeah, and Mike McCarthy agreed with that assessment, you know, in his first availability after that game. Was like, if there's, do you have that guy, that third tackle? And Spriggs was the one he went to. Obviously admitted there's some unevenness. But I'll be honest, this is, I guess, where I can offer a little bit of perspective for the fan base who just focuses on their team. Backup, well, first of all, starting tackles, most teams don't have two.
Nope.
And I can't say all teams don't have three, but that third one is always a iffy proposition.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's a high draft pick.
Almost nobody has three.
Right. So, I mean, so I think that's if they feel he is an ascending player, athleticism matters, understanding the offense, and frankly, even understanding how Aaron Rodgers moves around, probably more than even understanding the offense to a certain degree. Having a quarterback like that, you just need to get in the way long enough.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know.
I think that's a really good point. I think I call this the Justin McCray school of playing offensive line, which McCarthy has made reference to, too. Justin McCray made this team by hook and crook. I mean, he just hung on, played just well enough. Then in the season, he was like a savior. I mean, he wasn't that good, but he could play all these positions.
Yeah.
And what he does is just gets the job done. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
And if he has to, you know, reach out and grab a guy, you know, so the official can't see it or whatever, he'll do it. And that's what he has to do. And that's what you have to do with Aaron Rodgers behind you. You have to do whatever it takes not to get him hit.
Right. And obviously the way he can extend plays too, you have that clock in your head, but then, you know, depending what's going on, the quarterback can change that clock.
Yes,
unlike
a lot.
Many others in this league. Yeah. So, you're right though. I mean, backup offensive line in this league is just poor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no better way to say it.
No.
You just hope that A, they don't have to play because you like your guys, but if they do, they've had some practice or they've had some other time to develop or get a little better, or, you know, if there's vet days or off days or treatment day, like then they get some first team reps with you know, the guy to the left or right with the starting quarterback. So I would say Spriggs in terms of physically looks like he needs to be that guy, could fit that bill.
Yeah, and another guy that's kind of interesting is Byron Bell, who they picked up late in free agency, and he's a veteran guy who's on his last legs. He's had some injuries, he's beat up, but he's another one of these guys. For 8 years, he started, I think, 72 games or something like that, at guard and at tackle.
That's a good line, and that's been a good line in Dallas.
Yes, and before that, he was in Carolina
right.
and Tennessee. So he's the kind of guy where they think they really want him to play well in Kansas City to just, please, play
right.
well so we can keep you, because
right.
you got experience and you're not going to fold in the
right.
pressure.
Yeah.
You know? But if he's old and decrepit, you can't keep him.
You know? Yeah, that's always the, Eric Winston was that guy the last few years down in Cincinnati where I was, and currently Eric's a free agent. He's probably done. Yeah. But he was that sort of veteran guy because it was, okay, could he start a game? Yeah, probably, and maybe a guile and guts and
right, all and that a little help from the back and a little tight help end.
Can get the job done. Those are good guys to have if they can give you some snaps if an ankle is rolled or get you through a game. So you're right, but he probably does need to be more solid.
Yeah, yeah. You know. And then after that, I noticed it in practice the end of last week and then this week that Justin McCray has been taking snaps at center. Which tells me that so they don't have a for sure backup at center. And I think, I don't know if Lucas Patrick, who has been a backup center, he's been taking more snaps there too. I think they're possibly thinking, could they get away with not keeping Patrick and keeping one of these other guys, possibly keeping a spot for Cole Madison, the draft pick who hasn't reported to camp. Adam Pankey is going to probably make the team again. There's just, I can't really identify too many guys who deserve the team, you know?
Well, you mentioned Cole. Can you just refresh people, Tom, I think, as we get to cutdown day, what in terms of Cole Madison's status and designation, what that means going into cutdown day.
Good point.
Because that might affect things.
So he'll remain on the reserve did not report. He will not count against the 53. If he shows up, they'll have a certain period, usually it's about 2 weeks or something like that, to practice him and determine whether he's ready to play, and then they'll have to make a decision, either put him on the 53 or cut him.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a little bit of a tough decision. They're going to keep him because they liked what they saw in the spring, and he's got guard and tackle potential. He's really probably going to be a guard, but that position they're probably going to hold for him. Now, maybe they'll just suggest don't come back until next year, but we'll see how that plays out. If he wants to play, he can force their hand and just show up.
Yeah. So I guess to how we started this, where you said McCray could maybe be the backup center. So really, we're talking about backup line play. You know, the thought could be in the back end of that room, who can play tackle and guard, and is that person better than Lucas Patrick, who's just a center?
Well,
or not just center, but you know, like so maybe the thought is McCray is such a better backup center, and we maybe need, whether it's Bell or some of these other guys who could also kick out if need be.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So if they like Bell better than Lucas Patrick and they like Adam Pankey better than Lucas Patrick, well then why keep Lucas Patrick?
Right.
Especially if McCray can play center.
Yeah.
So I also think they'll be on the lookout for some offensive linemen, a young guy that they can develop. But, you know, that's pretty rare to find anybody.
Right. But, yeah, as we were just saying, if you're a lineman who's being let go, odds are, you know, there's a reason for that. And the only thing is maybe if there's, like, some history with your line coach or your offensive coordinator and it's that sort of veteran – is that eight-year veteran better than the one we have shown a little better, you know? Yeah.
So that wraps up our look at the offense. I think on Wednesday, probably Thursday morning, will be our next podcast. We'll look at the defense and kind of go through that heading into the final exhibition game. I did want to mention today a couple of news items. Trevor Davis, the long injured wide receiver, kick returner, punt returner, returned to practice on a limited basis. Devontae Mays, as we talked about, returned to practice. And that was about it. So really they're not a very injured injured team. Kumaro, Murphy. Am I missing anybody else? Who's that?
Oren Burks.
Oh, yeah. Oren Burks, right. And the new guy, Antonio Morrison, practiced today. Yeah. So he's going to play a ton in Kansas City.
They'll
throw him out there and just say, you know, play and show us something.
Yeah, I think, and he was, at least in his view, being an inside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme, it's like see ball, go hit ball.
Right.
In the run game. So, I mean, I think for him, and he said that there was already some familiarity, even though having never played for Mike Pettine, that, I mean, you know, as one defensive coordinator told me once, he's like, there's cover two, there's cover three, there's quarter. I mean, that's in the secondary. But, I mean, there's only so many fronts. There's only so many schemes.
Exactly. Exactly. And they're not going to be playing anything complex on Thursday night either. All right. So with that, I'm going to say that I enjoyed having Jim with us, and he will be – we'll be together moving forward. It should be a lot of fun. Be sure you check in to JS Online and PackersNews.com for all the latest on the Packers. And I'm going to start the music now, which means we're out of here.
Yeah.
See you next time.
See you next time.